Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Catherine Morehouse. Congressional lawmakers are once again negotiating to get a long, elusive permitting deal done. But time is running out because key negotiators are leaving Congress or their respective committees at the end of 2024. So today, I chat with Politico's Josh Siegel about the latest in permitting negotiations, along with the timeline and challenges that remain. It's Thursday, March 28th.
So, of course, we know Democratic and Republican leaders in both chambers have really been working on this issue for more than 2 years, really. And the most kind of well-documented public form of negotiation has been Senator Joe Manchin, the powerful Energy Committee chairman who is retiring. And he has been talking to his Republican counterpart on that committee, John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming. So their negotiations have been going on for a couple months. And Manchin recently kind of raised expectations at the CERAWeek Energy Conference earlier this month and said that they're so close, that was his quote, to a permitting reform deal. Now, I'm talking with people around the talks, including Barrasso himself. I mean, I think he, you know, overspoke a little bit to a friendly industry audience there. But yeah, everything I'm hearing is that those conversations are still happening, and that there are some areas they're pretty close on, but might still take a little bit more time. And then I actually picked up on some new conversations that are happening. Most significantly, I think, would be in the Senate also. Senator Tom Carper and Shelley Moore Capito caught up with Senator Capito. She told me that they've been actually talking about permitting weekly, the two of them, and that she said that they've been pretty aggressive in trying to figure out where there's some common ground with things under their jurisdiction with the EPW committee, and that they're also talking to Manchin and Barrasso. And then over in the House, we have Natural Resources Committee Chair Bruce Westerman and Representative Scott Peters. He's a moderate Democrat. They've had a long-standing relationship, and they've been talking about permitting for some time, but they've really resumed negotiations with the intent of actually crafting a bipartisan bill together over the last few weeks. It's just been the two of them. I caught up with both of them independently in recent days, and they told me that they're talking one-on-one and that they plan to bring in staff after the Easter recess to kind of drill down on some details. They're hopeful that they could kind of have some common ground with what's being talked about over in the Senate.
And so far, it sounds like lawmakers are keeping the actual policy details of their discussions under wraps. But you also note that they do agree on broad priorities that could form the basis of a deal. Remind us what those are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think all leading negotiators are pretty public around like what they're talking about. I mean, we know Democrats still really want something on transmission. That's really what brings them to the table at all on this permitting discussion. We know, Kat, as you know, more than most, you know, about the permitting process around transmission, very thorny. Lines could take more than a decade to get done. Yeah, we know that Republicans traditionally have been skeptical. That's what's held up other previous efforts at permitting reform, is Republicans not wanting to do anything in this space. We also know that Clean Water Act, this is, you know, basically a number of states along the East Coast, Democratic states, have used the Clean Water Act to block pipelines in the past. So Republicans would like to kind of loosen the rules around that and kind of when states can reject those pipelines. And also Senator Barrasso in particular is really interested in leasing on federal lands for fossil fuels. He wants to see more activity on federal lands. And then judicial review, right? I mean, that's a big complaint. I mean, it's traditionally thought of as the fossil fuel industry is upset that environmental groups often use the courts to stop projects. But it's something that I hear a lot coming up with clean energy as well, as we know, you know, kind of NIMBYism, right? That concept, it's coming up as well with clean energy. So judicial review is kind of the fourth bucket there.
And you know in your story that one of the biggest challenges facing lawmakers is time, because some negotiators are departing Congress or their respective committees at the end of this year. So how is that affecting negotiations?
I think it definitely adds urgency. I mean, so it's not just Manchin. We know Barrasso is actually pursuing the number two spot in leadership in the next Congress, which would require him to leave the Energy Committee. I mean, on one sense, you could say he'd have more kind of say over what might happen in a leadership position if permitting were to move to next year. But I mean, he's more involved in details on the committee. So Barrasso is a lame duck in that way a little bit. And then we know Senator Carper, who I mentioned earlier on EPW, he's also retiring. A number of kind of House Republicans who are active on permitting also moving on. So I think you know, on one sense, you could say that that's adding some urgency and folks saying this could be a legacy item. I mean, in particular, right, I think that's how Manchin, you know, is really thinking about this. On the other hand, I mean, you could see it as they are somewhat lame ducks. And depending on the alignment in another Congress, for example, a Martin Heinrich, a Democrat in New Mexico, is seen as the Democrat most likely to replace Manchin as top Democrat on that committee. He's kind of more progressive on these issues. He's really focused on transmission. So, you know, some folks who say, well, you know, maybe certain Democrats, even if Manchin were to agree to a deal with Barrasso, these are two fossil fuel state senators, you know, maybe they would want to wait until Heinrich is in that position and see what if he can get maybe something better for clean energy. So I think there's a little bit of gaming out in that way. But generally, I think it's kind of adding urgency.
Yeah. So given this kind of rushed timeline, do your sources think it's realistic that something can get done? And are there other challenges that you're seeing in these negotiations?
Yeah, I think people are pretty confident like Manchin and Barrasso might come to some agreement. But I think a big question is just what does that lead to? Carper and Capito, I'm not sure quite as far as long, but there's some questions around kind of jurisdiction, like judicial review in anything around NEPA or an EPW, and ENR has the authority on these transmission issues and public lands. So there's a question of like, okay, if Manchin and Barrasso agree to things in their purview, like that doesn't necessarily mean that there's the votes on the floor to that, or that Capito and Carper, you know, agree with that. And it's unclear if they'll come to agreement on their aspects in their committee. So there's just like a lot of uncertainty around how you actually get the 60 votes. And I think the election year, of course, is a major question. The motivation around House Republicans, a lot of people on the House side are telling me, well, you know, we don't necessarily want to see President Biden get anything they could say as a win, right? Because they really want transmission reform to help deliver on IRA. So that's a kind of a tricky message if you're a Republican in the House in an election year. The White House itself is also not super involved in these talks. I mean, I think they'd like to see something happen. If it happens, it happens. It seems to be the attitude, but generally they're really playing up what they're doing, you know, on their own. So yeah, I mean, I think there's like a lot of balls in the air. And generally we know that big policy, it's hard to do stuff in an election year. But again, the negotiators involved are pretty optimistic. The way Representative Scott Peters put it to me, he said, permitting is not like immigration, right? We know immigration is very partisan. There was a recent bipartisan deal on immigration, on border security, that didn't ultimately pass or even get to a vote in the Senate. It fell apart once it left the negotiating room. But people are saying this is a different issue. It's kind of can slide under the radar. There's benefits from clean energy potentially for fossil fuels. There's an overlap of interest. So there's a hope that maybe this is a policy issue that could make it through.
Also, the Energy Department plans to issue a loan guarantee of up to $1.52 billion to restart a shuttered U.S. nuclear plant in Michigan. If the license for the Holtec-owned Palisades plant is approved by federal regulators, it would mark the first time in history a U.S. nuclear plant is restarted after shutting down. The move underscores growing bipartisan support for nuclear power and comes as the Biden administration is counting on the energy source to help the U.S. reach its larger climate goals. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Catherine Morehouse, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.